We're doing Medrash Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer. We're up to the 42nd chapter. And we've been learning this Medrash about the fantastic things that occurred as the Jews were taken out of Mitzrayim. And we're up to Ben Aza Yomer, page Kuf Samach Beis, in the Eshkol edition, six lines from the top. Page Shin Pei Aleph, in the Zichron Aharon editions, four lines from the bottom. Ben Aza Yomer, Ben Aza says, Hakol b'mida. Everything is done with exacting measurement. And this is one of the fantastic ways in which Hashem runs the world, so that we can see His hand in the world. Meaning, if a guy cheated on his taxes $100, and then he'd stub his toe, you'd say, what's the connection? But if a guy cheats on his taxes $100, and then at some point he suddenly has to fix his car for $100, so Hashem tries to show us in our lives that He does things midah keneged midah. Sometimes it doesn't happen right away. But one of the reasons that Hashem runs the world with this concept of midah keneged midah, with an exacting form of judgment, not only in what is done, but also in the form in which it is done, is so that we should recognize His hand in this world. Kishem shenitga'u ha-mitzrim v'yishlichu ha-iladim lay'or. Just as the Egyptians were so haughty, they took Jewish children and drowned them in the Nile. Kach ishlich otam HaKadosh Baruch Hu layam. By the same token, Hashem took the Egyptians and drowned them in the sea. Shene'emar, as the verse says, Ashira la Hashem ki ga'o ga'a. I sing to Hashem, for He took the pride. So the Medrash is telling us that there was an element of Egyptian fool's pride in thinking they could get away with drowning Jewish children, mocking the Jews and thinking it'll never get back to haunt them. That's usually what happens with tyrants. And when you have a regime, it could be Mubarak, it could be Gaddafi, it could be the Egyptians in Mitzrayim, but people assume it'll never come back to haunt them. And there's an element of pride. I can get away with whatever I want. Who's going to stop me? And at some point, Hashem shows a person, no, I run the show. And so Hashem is described in the song after the great redemption as Ga'o Ga'a. Hashem took back the pride. Hashem put the Egyptians in their place when He paid them back. What about all those children who were in the Nile? Rabbi Sheila Omer, kol ha'iladim she'ishlichu la'yor lo metu. Those children did not die. The children who were thrown into the Nile, says Rabbi Sheila, those children did not die. Ela ha'yor hiflit otam. But rather, the Nile swept them ashore. Ve'ishlich otam le'midbar Mitzrayim. And they were swept to the shores by the Egyptian desert. So you had Jewish children being swept to the Egyptian desert. And there's this fantastic medrash that I still remember learning in pre-1A and in kindergarten and in first grade and in second grade. And this is a medrash you have to tell your children. When you grow older, you learn it in its deeper level. But for now, we have to learn the simple level, that Hashem took every child that the Egyptians threw into the Nile, took him out of the Nile, and took him out into the desert. And in the desert, Hashem gave each child two stones. One stone, v'asela sh'aya b'fiv ha'yamenikoto dvash, one stone he could nurse from, and it tasted like honey. V'asela sh'b'tzideyem ha'yamenikotam shemen, and the other stone he could nurse from, and it was smooth like oil. Kechayashi menikat pna. Just like a wild animal nurses its son, Shneimar, as the verse says in Devarim, in the song of Azinu at the conclusion of the Torah, it says, "Vayenikeu dvash misela, the shemen mechal mishtzu." God nursed the Jewish people, honey from a rock and oil from a flint of stone. So this fantastic medrash that all those little children, they didn't die. So we don't know what to make of this medrash. What does that mean? Obviously, the Medrash has more depth. But for our children, we have to tell to them as is. Let them first absorb the Medrash as it says. וכשבאו ישראל לים, ראו הקדוש ברוך הוא והכירו. And when these children came to the sea, when they came to the Yam Suf, they recognized Hashem. It says when they got to the sea, they said, V'kilesu v'kideshu, they praised Hashem, they sanctified Him. Shenemaz, it says, Ze Eli ve'anveyu. That is my God. What were they pointing to? The Midrash says they recognized that that was the God that saved them from the beginning. So on the simple level, okay, God appeared before them as babies, and that had a lasting impact. On a deeper level, perhaps the Midrash is discussing the strength that held us throughout our period in Mitzrayim. How did we last? How did we make it out of there? How could we stand up to all the persecution? Ze'eli, that's my strength. Strength isn't some secret. The secret is God. Ze'eli ve'anveyu. Rabbi Simon Omer, again, there has to be more depth. Like every Medrash, the Medrash says it simplistically, and when we'll be smart enough, we'll understand the depths of the Medrash. So for now, what can we get out of it? We get the simple meaning that Hashem literally saved the children and gave them each a stone to nurse from. But obviously, there's more going on here. Rabbi Simon Omer, Biyom Revi'i Chanu Yisrael Asfat Hayam Minegev Layam. Rabbi Simon says, on Wednesday, on the fourth day of the week, the Jews camped by the Yam Suf, Minegev Layam, V'hayu HaMitzrim Tzafim Kenodot Al Pnei HaMayim. And the Egyptian corpses were floating on the water. They were floating like empty flasks. So you had the bodies floating across the ocean, across the waters of the Yam Suf, the waters of the sea. V'yatzar ruach tzafon mishlich otam keneged machane Yisrael. So a northern wind came out and swept them all towards the Jewish camp. V'alchu Yisrael v'ra'u otam mikirum. So the Jews went to sea. The corpses are being swept ashore. So the Egyptians went, the Jews went to take a look at who was there. What bodies are there? And they recognized him. That's the guy who beat me on Sunday. That's the guy who made me work like a dog. That's the guy who put my son in the Nile. That's the guy who put my son in the mortar and the bricks. V'amru b'nei Yisrael. So the Jews, looking over the corpses, said, Eilu b'nei plalterin shel paro. Whoa, these are the nobles who used to be in Paro's castle. Ve'ilu anogasim, and these are those vicious policemen. The Yassam, the guys who beat us up. Ve'ayu makirim kol echad ve'echad, and they identified them individually. Shneimar, the verse says, Ve'yar Yisrael et Mitzrayim. Israel saw Egypt lying there before them. It wasn't one Egyptian, it was the mass, the multitudes of the Egyptians. Rabbi Reuven omer, hakol olech achar harosh. Rabbi Reuven says, everything follows the head. The head leads the way, and everything follows suit. Eimatai bizman sharoe toa atzon toim acharav. If the shepherd makes a wrong turn, so the sheep follow him the wrong way. Shneimar al chatot Yerovam asher chata. When the pasuk attributes the Jewish people's following Yerovam ben Nevat, going after idol worship, so it attributes it to the king Yerovam ben Nevat who led them astray. Uvizman sharoe tov olech bederech yesharan, when the shepherd is a good shepherd and he goes down the straight path, hatzon olechim acharav, so the sheep follow him. Umoshe Rabbeinu ro'e ne'eman haya. And Moshe Rabbeinu was a trusted shepherd. Moshe was watching over us. We just had this great salvation. A tremendous thing just happened. Chazal discuss when were we redeemed from Mitzrayim. So the Tosefta in Brachos discusses the stages, and it's a machlokas. Yes, often we find that the sages look at an event in history, and they differ as to where to put the stress. Some say it was at midnight when the firstborn died. Some say it was at the crack of dawn. Some say it was the morning when we left Egypt. Some say it was when we were standing, when we crossed the Yam Suf. Some say it was in the plague of the firstborn. Many different opinions. And we fulfill all of those opinions in the morning. When we commemorate the Exodus from Egypt, so we say all of the opinions in the morning. We say, Kol b'choriyeh maragta, u'b'choricha ga'alta. You hit all their firstborn. You saved your firstborn, the Jewish people. Mimtzayim galtanu mbet avdim titan kol b'chayim haragta b'chocha galto v'yam suf bakata, you split the sea. That's that opinion. V'didim evalta, you sank them, you passed us through the sea. Different opinions as to when was the salvation, but everyone agrees to one point, that on the seventh day of Pesach, when the Egyptians were sunk, and we were out there and we saw their dead bodies, then it was over. The redemption had reached a final point of redemption. We still haven't reached our climax. As a people, we're still going to make the journey to Sinai and get the Torah. The whole point of redemption was Sinai, Israel. But as far as being redeemed from slavery, that was it. Our masters are there lying dead at our feet. So Moshe sees that this is a pivotal point in Jewish history. Ve'itchil Moshe leshorer ulzamer lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Moshe began singing. He broke out in song in front of Hashem. Moshe says, Ashir al Hashem, let me sing out to Hashem, ki go'ga, over the great might, over the way he put down his enemies. Ve'alchu kol Yisrael acharav. So what happens? He's going down a straight path. He's the trusted shepherd. Everyone follows his path. Shneimar, as the pasuk says, as Yashir Moshe uvnei Yisrael. Then Moshe and the Jewish people sang. The pasuk stresses it started with Moshe, but once he started, everyone followed suit. Miriam itchilam shoreret umzameret. Miriam started singing as well. Ve'alchu kol anashim achareha. And all the women followed her in song and praise of Hashem. So here there's a discussion among the Midrashim exactly how it happened. Shneimar v'tikach Miriam anviyah, as the verse says, that Miriam took her tambourine and she started singing and they followed her. Where were they all going? So the simple understanding is they went a ways in their song after Miriam, because it's not nice to stand next to the men singing. So that's what the Medrash says. The women went after her. They actually went after her singing, because that's more tzanua. And the pasuk even stresses about the women. Vateitzena kol hanashim achareha. All the women went out after her. Meaning they went out. They went out, maybe somewhere in the desert, but they went to have their song in honor of Hashem. Minayin hayu lehem tupim umcholot b'midbar? Where did they have the instruments to play music in the desert? Miriam has a tambourine, the women are going out after her singing. Where did they get the instruments from? Ela lo'olam ha-tzadikim yodi'im u'muvtachim sha'makom oseh lehem nisim u'gvorot. The hallmark of tzaddikim, they know, they are confident that God is going to do a miracle for them. And there are fantastic stories in the Holocaust about people who held on to that faith. It's going to work itself out. How? We don't know. That's because he's running the show. That's the strength of tzaddikim. In the face of the greatest adversity, they're willing to have a tambourine. It's not just about we're going to get out. It's about we're going to sing. We're still going to sing. And let's hold on to those tambourines. You'd think people are leaving Egypt, the last thing they need is to take along the tambourine. Leave the tambourine at home. No. That's the hallmark of tzaddikim. We don't give up. We are taught we don't give up. And nothing causes us to give up. Chazal tell us, Gzera avida debatla. The worst decree is going to pass. As the song today, people say it often, Am ha-netzach lo mfached miderech arukah. The eternal nation is not scared of a long journey. So the journey is going to be long? Fine, we can weather it. It's one of the things we and the Arabs have in common, by the way. You guys notice? That's one of the Arabs' tactics. They have time. The Muslim Brotherhood was set up by the Nazis. The Nazis are gone, but the Muslim Brotherhood is still here. And now they're picking up their heads. You know, this week there was a speech in front of millions about the importance of annihilating the Jews. In Cairo. In Egypt. Oh yeah. Because the United States is so confident that the Muslim Brotherhood is a moderate group. The head of intelligence testified before Congress. how they're moderate. So they made a point of showing how moderate they were this week.
A group called something Brotherhood should have its moderation question.
But they waited. They waited half a century. You know, and that's one of the strengths of the Muslims. It's one of the strengths of the Arabs. They keep saying, we don't need to win this war today. We just have to eventually annihilate the Jews.
Just like the population of all the countries in England and America.
Oh.
Saying in 30, 40 years, we're going to take over the government. We'll have the
great population. Right, right, right.
They're succeeding in Europe.
They're succeeding, yeah.
Very well.
They're succeeding. There are places in England where you can't go. There are whole sections of there are places in England where they bow. They have their siren blaring, and then people bow in the middle of the day, and they take up whole streets, and the police doesn't interfere. They can't touch them. Yeah, yeah. And in Russia also, the Russians aren't succeeding against them either. Sure. But the truth is that this is our strength. This is a strength that it's not only about the fact that we will overcome the adversity, it's about the fact that we will still rejoice. There's still something good waiting on the horizon. So when we leave Mitzrayim, it's not just about, let's get out of here. Come on, you know, they've been murdering us and our children, and let's just go. No. Bring the tambourine along. We're still going to have reason to dance.
Because where we're going is good. It's not just that
we're always going to good. We're always at it for good. Always. Sometimes we see it and sometimes we don't. But that's what you got to believe. And that's the strength of a tzaddik. If I realize that Hashem is running the show, then I also realize that the map could change at any minute. You know, it boggles my mind. You look at the financial news. So 2 weeks ago, many commodities plummeted. Gold was over $100 cheaper than it is today. Okay? Gold, silver went down drastically. And suddenly everyone's reporting how maybe it's got to go down. It was overpriced. You look at the articles today. What are they all saying? Gold still has a way to go. Buy gold. It's cheap. Today it's the highest it ever was. It hit record highs again today, gold and silver.
Silver's at a 30-year high.
Yeah. But, you know, 2 weeks ago they were saying, who knows how much it's going to crash. Now they're saying, who knows how much it's going to go up. Okay, fine. We're consistent. The news, you know, they could be fickle. One of the interesting things you could do is take a newspaper, subscribe to a newspaper, and look at it 3 weeks old. You know, sometimes when you have a forwarding address, so you get your paper 2 or 3 weeks late. I don't subscribe to any newspaper. I don't have time to read any newspaper. But you suddenly see how ridiculous what they say is. It's just all speculation. Look at what they were saying about Mubarak a month ago. Look at what we're saying about Libya. Libya got rewarded 4 months ago by the UN. Libya for their improvements on human rights. Yeah, and Libya is on the human rights watch of the UN.
They're no longer in
the UN. No longer. Wow. Mazal tov.
Yeah.
Okay. But the same murderer was there all along. So what are we taught? That a tzaddik knows that Hashem is running the world. And he knows that Hashem can change the scene at any moment, and therefore he's always ready to rejoice. People think of tzaddikim as being sad, serious, morbid individuals. I always said it was worth going to Merkaz Arav just to see Rav Avraham Shapiro smile. You'd walk into the yeshiva, you'd talk to him, he'd smile. Yibadel l'chaim tovim, when I spoke to Rav David Feinstein, many times he'd answer me with jokes. I'd ask him a question and he'd answer me with a joke. I asked him once, I finished Shmuel Aleph. Can I make a siyum on finishing Shmuel Aleph? So he told me a joke about a tour guide who made things up as he went along. He brought people to a grave and he said, over here is the great Nabi Samuel. This is where Samuel is buried. So one of the people raised his hand and he said, you know, 2 weeks ago I was on a tour with you, somewhere totally different, and you said, that's where Samuel is buried. So the tour guide looks at him for a minute and he says, what's wrong with you? You know, that was Samuel A, and this is Samuel B. So that was his answer to me. The tzaddikim see beyond the moment, and they realize that Hashem can make things better, and therefore they're always ready to celebrate. Et yitziatam mimitzrayim itkinu lahem tupim umcholot. They're leaving Mitzrayim, so they say, we got to be ready. There's going to be celebration. Let's put together our musical instruments. That's tzaddikim. It's not only about it's going to be good. It's not only about we could weather the storm. It's about let's get ready to celebrate. There's reason to be happy. And it's one of the things I've seen repeatedly that, you know, it's very fitting. What do they call the book on Rav Shlomo Zalman? HaTorah HaMsamachat. How Torah makes you happy. That's Rav Shlomo Zalman. You'd think they'd write how Torah makes you grow. No. HaTorah HaMsamachat. It's one of the things you see when you get close to big people. Amru Yisrael lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Israel said before God, Ribon kol olamim, elu shekamu lavo aleinu leavdeinu molamecha. These people, they rose upon us to annihilate us from your world. V'chol hakamim aleinu kilu hem kamim alecha. And those who arise against us, it's as though they're arising against you. Kulam big'on uzcha uvacharon apecha yachlu kakash. Let them all be devoured like hay before your mighty, before your might and your wrath. Shenemaru v'rov go'oncha ta'aros kamecha teshalach aronecha yocholem okakash. As it says in the song of Oz Yashir, with your elevatedness, you should destroy those that arise against you. You should send out your anger and consume them like hay. Who rose against Hashem? So the Medrash is explaining, no. When they rise against us, they're rising against Hashem. It's not just about us. It's about Hashem. And this is a recurring theme. Not only here, we see it in Tehillim, David HaMelech says, Moshe Rabbeinu says it to Hashem, says, there is the famous argument, discussion between Moshe and Hashem when it comes to the war on Midian. Hashem tells Moshe, go fight the Midianites because of what they've done to you. And Moshe says, I'll go fight the Midianites, God, because of what they did to you. So the Medrash says, what was going on here? Moshe said to God, if we weren't your people, they wouldn't hate us. They picked the fight not with us because of who we are, but because we're your people. So we're fighting your war. It's not about us, it's about you. They hate us because we're your people.
Does the hate, the kash, does that have any kind of allegorical connection to Jews that they work with? The Jews had to make bricks out of hay. Was that any
oh, interesting. I don't know. Amru Yisrael lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Israel said before Hashem, "En kamocha b'malachei asharet." There are none like you, even among the heavenly angels. V'chein kol kinui shman Elohim. You see, even their names are with the name Elohim. Micha El, Gavri El. The angels all refer back to their strength stemming from Hashem. Michamocha ba'elim Hashem is a reference to who is like you among those that have the word El in their name, meaning the angels, Michael, Gabriel, all the different angels that have your name in them. Vana paro achayhem shir v'shevach bilshon mitzrit. And Paro responded to their song in Egyptian. Paro too was singing. Meaning Paro made it out. One person made it out of the Yam Suf, and that was Paro. So Paro responded in Egyptian, Ve'amar, and he said, Mi kamocha ne'edar bakodesh. Who is like you, Hashem, who is awesome in His holiness? Nora te'ilot osefelin. So Mi kamocha ne'edar bakodesh, the Medrash is saying that Paro, who said, Mi Hashem, he said, who is Hashem? I never heard of him. Doesn't show up in my books. So then Hashem had him say, Mi kamocha, who is like you, Hashem. Hashem wanted him to come full circle. Nora tehila in ktiv kan, ela nora tehilot. It doesn't say you are awesome in one praise, but rather you are awesome in many praises. Shemalachei asharet mekalesin otcha milmala, utilot Yisrael milmata. What are the multitude of praises? From the angels above, in Israel below. There are two types of praises, one above and one below. V'chein hu omer, v'ata kadosh yushev tehilot Yisrael. As the verse says, you are holy Hashem, you are situated on the praise of Israel. Okay, so we'll pick up here. We're going through the Shira slowly with the Medrash expanding on different verses in the Shira. And we'll pick up here next time, Ezrat Hashem.